If you got your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but somebody will remind me after church probably. So, Colossians chapter 1, we've talked the last several weeks about the book of Colossians and the intent that Paul had in writing the church of Colossae was to remind them of who they are in Christ and remind them who God is. We talked about unless you know who you are in Christ, you're going to have difficulty understanding who God is and what His purpose is for us that are alive on the earth today. He's more concerned about His kingdom than He is our personal wants. Notice I didn't say needs. He'll supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ. But somehow we've morphed that into God has to meet all of our wants. If I want something, all I got to do is ask Daddy and He'll take care of it and supply it for me. How many have learned that sometimes God says no? So we move on. We move on in serving Him. Amen? And this morning, Paul kind of changes the whole tone. Reading in verse 24, he says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this passage of Scripture that is so very challenging to us, God. Many times we forget what You desire from us, God, that we would lay down our very lives, even as You did, God. Sometimes we forget that You said if we want to follow You, we've got to pick up our cross and die to ourselves. So here, Paul reminds us through the power of Your Holy Spirit to again focus on that selfless life that You ask us to walk. Father, forgive us for being selfish, wanting our own way and Your the best that You have at the same time. God, we realize that as we live for ourselves, we can't really gain what You want us to gain from You. So, Father, help us to walk that sacrificial life that You called us to. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's a challenge, Paul says, when I often have read this passage. It's a challenge for me, as I'm sure it's a challenge for you, because he says, I now rejoice in my sufferings. And I find when I reflect back over my years of walking with the Lord, I don't really rejoice too much in suffering. Anybody like that? And I've asked the Lord, was there something in the first century Christian that You kind of had to work out of them so this 21st century Christian doesn't have to do what the first century Christian did? You know what I'm saying? They kind of laid the groundwork and they suffered for the church, so that the church could be who the church is. And so we don't have to redo that in our generation. We kind of just get the best of God and enjoy His kingdom. And that's, isn't that something that makes some sense? Come on. It doesn't, does it? Because suffering for the Lord Jesus, and Paul talks about the suffering, and certainly we are not have never or may never suffer as Paul did. Paul was shipwrecked. He was beaten. All sorts of things to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentile. But let me tell you something. God has called us to die to ourselves. You know, we kind of push everybody ahead and let their our prayers that others be blessed. There's a challenge in this passage of Scripture for you and I. Living the crucified life is the call of a disciple. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." One of the difficult things to do as a modern day Christian is to realize the world is there. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. The things that the world desires, the thing that the worldly people want, is not to be our goal. It's not to be something that drives us, but we want what God wants. Quiet in here. See, a Christian is called to want what God wants and die to our own wants. Needs are taken care of. They're promised us. And try as we might to poke holes in that, when we reflect back over our lives as Christians, we realize that God has sustained us and taken care of us. Come on, someone. Someone called him the 1159 God. He's never late and seldom early. It's kind of like that last segment. You say, "God, where's the provision?" And all of a sudden it's there. So he takes care of our need. But Paul, in addressing the Colossae church, Colossians, he says, "I'm rejoicing because I've suffered for you. And I'm trying to do what God called me to do." And it sounds so foreign to us in this verse, verse 24, because we live in an age of relief. We want relief from any pressure. We want relief from any persecution. Our prayer is often, "God, just make the country love Christianity again." Come on, somebody. I want to wake up Monday morning and have, you know, the Speaker of the House and all the politicians gathered on the steps of Congress and say, we've ended the war with Christianity. We want to embrace Jesus Christ and everything is Christian. Wouldn't that be wonderful? How many think that'll happen someday? Because the world is in darkness. So it's futile to think that we're going to win that argument. But we live in an age of relief when we need to be those that live for sacrifice. So often our nation, especially in this country, we experience life through websites and blogs. You know, everybody's opinion means something. Well, how many know the only opinion that means anything is Christ's opinion? Somebody said everybody's got a couple opinions like they got armpits. You know, what's it make any difference what your opinion is? We have a need for sacrifice. We experience life in that way. When God has called us, the suffering church is real, but we are so out of touch with that. Those that suffer for the Lord. Reading about it is not living it. And I'm not saying to, you know, we don't need to go home and beat ourselves, but we need to die to the things of the world and embrace what God has for us. It's one thing to suffer as a result of a wrong. You know, when we've missed God on purpose. Am I the only one that's ever missed God on purpose? We know what God wants us to do, but we're going to do what we want to do anyway. Almost it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. Come on, somebody. Found out my daughter years ago was a sophomore in high school, a freshman in high school, and used to once a month take the day off school and catch the city bus and go down to Yonkers, New York, with a girlfriend of hers and have her nails done. Come on, somebody. She was skipping school, catching a bus, a freshman, 14, 15 years old. She's catching a bus and going to Yonkers, of all places. Not the safest place to be, even in the daylight, some of the areas. But they'd catch a bus and go down there. And I didn't find out till later. Of course, when I found out, she didn't have her nails done in Yonkers anymore. But it was easier for her to ask forgiveness when I found out than permission, which, how many know what that answer would have been? No. And our relationship with God is much the same. We want to do things that we want to do, and we find ourselves then when we have a time of set aside to seek the Lord, all these things come up before our face. Well, you did what you wanted to do, and now you want to do what God wants you to do, but first you got to ask forgiveness. And we need to get to a place where we ask permission, even when we know what the answer is going to be. Come on, someone. There is a need for sacrifice in our world today. There is a need to say, we're going to put off what our wants is. We're going to offer ourselves up as living sacrifices, Romans says, so that there's enough of people living in our society that are setting the example of what Christ-likeness is. It shouldn't just be a few. It should be all of us that are living as Christians, setting the example so that people who are being drawn to the Lord might see the example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. How many know? We need to be like Paul. We need to be able to say to this world, to our relatives, our friends, our co-workers, yeah, what you see me doing, I'm following Christ. I'm setting an example. This is what Christ allows me to do. Paul says, I rejoice in that sort of sufferings. And why? For the sake of his body. There's a much higher call for you and I as Christians than just getting what we want. We want to extend the kingdom. We want to bless the body of Christ and ministering to one another with the knowledge of who we are. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:16. I had opportunity to go away this week. Most of you know that I was up in sky country. It's great, what do they call it? Big sky country. And I was with a friend of mine from college. We haven't been together for many years. He came and visited me a couple years ago, but it was only overnight. So I spent a week with him, and we fell right back into the pattern of arguing everything. We solved all the problems of the world, by the way. We've got it all worked out. So, but we wrangled over the word, and you got to know Steve and I. I mean, he'll take the other side of the argument just to see us argue. He may agree with me, but he just wants to see what I'm made of. And same thing with me. And then then I'll turn and he put salt in my coffee, just stuff like that. But one of the things that I understand is when I'm listening for the Lord in Steve, although we know each other too well, and even when I'm hearing, and I spend the last 42 years of my life with my wife, I understand when God is speaking through her that it's the Lord speaking and not my wife. Are you there? And that's a hard, I don't know about you, but that's a hard thing to do, because the more you get to know someone, you just think, well, that's them. That's just their opinion. Come on. Sometimes it's the word of the Lord, and God uses us to communicate to one another his will for our lives. Here in 2 Corinthians 5:16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Somebody say, no one. No one. What's that mean? You know what no one means in the original language? No one. So we don't regard each other after the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We use that for new Christians, but we're in a constant state of newness in our spirit, man. Why? Because God is timeless. Come on, somebody. I don't care if you've walked with the Lord for 3 years or 30 years. You are a new creation today. Brand new creation today. Because God doesn't hold our history against us. And he doesn't project his future to us. We just walk in the now. Amen? So everything is new. Now all things are of God. Somebody say all things. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Christ was once a man like us, but he is no longer a flesh and blood human being. He's now glorified. He's still in his body, but he's in a glorified one. We once knew Christ when he walked this earth according to the flesh. Born as a child, suffered in under Pontius Pilate, suffered on the cross. How many know he's not suffering anymore? So we know him after the Spirit. And thus, that's the comparison that Paul is drawing when he's writing to the Corinthians church, is we're fulfilling the Word of God because we're working as new creations. We're no longer who we used to be. One of the hardest things for us to do, even, you know, I talk with people that have walked with the Lord 30, 40 years. They're still fighting the old way of life. And we need to put that where it belongs. Come on, somebody. In the blood of Jesus Christ. In the same regard as we know that Christ is no longer in his body, we are not the same person if we are born again. How have we changed, and to what extent do we walk in it? That's the question of the day. To what extent do we walk in this newness? All things have become new. That's a fact. That's not because of how I feel. It's a fact. All things have become new, or in a state of newness in our lives if we're a born-again Christian. And so those things we build on. We are in a constant state of newness. This is not time-sensitive. It has eternity wrapped up in it. And to the extent that I walk in that and release my faith to do that, I find myself walking in success. I find myself receiving the needs that God gives me and not wanting everything that I can't have. Why? Because God has called me to walk in newness of life. Paul goes on to say, all things are of God. Like our Father, our nature is to reconcile. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. My goodness. I wonder if we realize what potential we have when we talk to folks. If we just be sensitive to the power of the Holy Spirit. Resist the temptation to pigeonhole someone. I'd venture to guess if any of you would have met me before I knew Christ, you wouldn't have spent 2 minutes with me. And if you'd have tried to, I'd have probably offended you and you'd have turned your back on me. I was a wicked, wicked person. Resist the temptation to pigeonhole someone. We are in this time, in this age of Christianity in this nation, where we've condemned people to hell that are still living and breathing. Come on, somebody. How many know as long as they're breathing in and breathing out, they have potential? Yes. The Holy Spirit is drawing them. Why? How do we know the Holy Spirit is drawing them? Because God desires that no one perish. And if he desires that no one perish, and he's the head Fred, there's nobody above him, how many know he's going to do everything he can to draw somebody to him? Even the worst among us. We have a penchant to take people just because of their attitude, because of something they said. My Bible says the only unpardonable sin is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to even go there. That's between them and the Holy Spirit. But I want to pray for them as long as they're breathing. We dare not pigeonhole people. That unction that we feel to give grace when we see something wicked happening, somebody terrible, that unction that goes off in us before we enter the judgment, that's the Holy Spirit. Come on, someone. I'm glad God didn't give up to me on me when I was wicked. He drew me by the power of His Spirit. Back to Colossians verse 25. He says, Paul says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Who among us will take the role of a steward in His kingdom? And that's really what God's calling us to. Are we stewards for the revelation of His kingdom? That's what we need to ask. How do we reveal His kingdom? By living the life. The mystery revealed. The mystery is revealed to who? To us. Mystery is not revealed to apostles or theologians or teachers and pastors, although it's there. It's revealed to the saints. Every one of us know the will of God and what His purpose is if we'll just wait on Him. The will of God in verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we teach by words, by deeds, and by examples, but God is in us and abides in us. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that the God of the universe is not out there somewhere. We sing songs. Some of the songs we sing, we ask God to come when He's already here. I had opportunity to listen to this week, Do Nothing. I slept in. It was good to sleep 8 hours. I haven't slept 8 hours in a long time. But I had opportunity to fall asleep listening to Christian radio, and some of it just made me sick. Come on, somebody. Singing songs that are unscriptural. Come on, somebody. God touch me. God hold me. How many know we're here to serve God? I understand that God loves us, but He's not a human being that He's going to caress us and hold us. Come on, someone. Or we ask, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We say that. How many know the Holy Spirit resides in us? Paul says, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that we are the temple of the living God. God's in us. And so with that comes not only revelation, but responsibility. The will of God is to present every man perfect in Him. So we're in Christ. We abide in Christ. John 15, verse 4 says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. So what is the will of God? That we abide. And God will use us. It's to walk consistently and practice His presence. Become more dependent on Him. And the end game is to labor for the kingdom, striving side by side with the Holy Spirit to see the kingdom established. We can't say as Christians we want Christ to return, and we're not doing anything to get there. One of the things that we've become proficient in as a generation is to kick the can down the road. Come on, someone. Because if this thing comes to fruition and maturity, there's a lot of things that are going to happen in our world that aren't going to be very comfortable. Paul warns us. He says, the days are coming when people will be unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, haters, boasters. How many think we're coming pretty close to those days? But at the same time, the same God that warns us against what's going to happen says, I'll pour my Spirit upon all flesh. My sons will prophesy, my daughters will prophesy, the old men will dream dreams, the young men will see visions. Come on, somebody. One doesn't negate the other, but they're going to both happen simultaneously. And we've got to be focused what God has us to do. Abide in Him. To walk in consistency in Him. Practicing His presence. Becoming more dependent on you. It's wonderful, the revelation where He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. just a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 3:16. I don't know if you've ever taken my challenge to look at all the 3:16s in the New Testament. Pretty neat. John 3:16, of course, everybody knows. But 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So, you know, if we would just get that down as a body, not just a few people, but as a body, realizing that we're not reaching out into the cosmos to ask God to come. He lives in me. And he lives in you. Are you there? Have you ever just taken a moment and just, man, you could do that for days in and days out. Just contemplate the God of the whole universe, who could pick anywhere to live, lives in me. Come on. When somebody asks God the Father, you're a righteous God, show me your righteousness, he says, look at John Hayes. Look at Jennifer Babcock. They are my righteousness. Come on, somebody. This is powerful stuff I'm talking about. The Bible says, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say that with me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how you feel, because right away, as soon as I started to say that, tons of people in the room went, I don't feel righteous. That's good for everybody else. No, it's for you. I'm the righteousness of God. If you're a child of God, if somebody were to ask God, what is your righteousness? Look at my children. I took something that was worthless, that was ready to die, and I killed it. And I gave it new life. Come on, that's what he did. He killed us and gave us new life. And so he said, I'm going to identify myself through you. The reflection of my glory is going to be in my children. The reflection of my glory is not going to be in inanimate objects. It's not going to be just in a few. It's going to be all my children. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not a pompous thing. It's something that is because Christ lives in us. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. What does that mean? It means that I died and the life that I'm living, Christ is living through me. It begins to be within the reach of our minds that we can actually, with Paul, say the mystery is Christ in me, the hope of glory. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. What a wonderful revelation. That the enemy is a defeated foe. We've got Hollywood Christians trying to be pleasing to God. You know, the enemy is this big, bad boogeyman and causes people to spin their head and spit grape juice, you know, or whatever. I mean, no, the enemy is a defeated foe. Verse 28, Paul says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's a high calling. Wait a minute. What happened to the 20-80 principle? 20% of the people doing 100% of the work. Paul says, no, I want to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Every woman perfect in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine how our nation would change if Christians would just live what they preach? If Christians would just live what they hear, it would change, it would reach a tipping point and it would change our nation. Atmospheric change would take place. Come on, someone. preaching the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who have eternal life, it's life to us. And it works. 1 Corinthians 3:18, Paul says, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours." Wow. Instead of kicking the can down the road, we need to embrace who we are in Christ. Come on, someone. We need to embrace who Christ made us to be. Victorious. I'm a victorious Christian. Come on. I'm an overcomer. God's translated me from darkness to light. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All of those things are not just pie in the sky hope. It's a fact. That's more real than the chairs we're sitting on, that the room we're in, that the eyes that we see. When God has given us victory. And when we realize the victory is not because of what we've done, it's what Jesus has done. Because, man, I can give all sorts of reasons to God to not give me the victory. Come on, someone. But it's not based on me. It's based on Christ. Come on. Be like me. I just went to Montana. Can you imagine how long it would have taken me to walk there? Taking me a long time, I'd still be on my way out there. I left last Saturday, you know. But no, I took advantage of transportation. Drove out to Chicago, climbed on a plane, flew out to, that's another story, flew out to Salt Lake City. We won't even go there. But, and then flew from there. What am I trying to say? I took advantage of what was available to me. Stop struggling in your Christian walk. God is not looking. He doesn't shine on you brighter because of your performance or your lack of performance. Are you there? You are who you are because of what Christ already did. If this kingdom were based on, this kingdom that you and I have been called to, were based on the mass performance, we'd have been dead a long time ago. Because humankind has let down God so many times. But Jesus never let him down. He was perfect in every way. And he said, you know how I'm going to help you? I'm going to come live in you. Therefore, you have the pleasure of God. You have the blessing of God. And when you fall, I'll pick you up. I'll clean you up. And we'll just be on our way. So it's house cleaning time. It's really a time for us to not take for granted that every thought that comes through our head. One of the biggest revelations I had when I began to purpose in my heart to be a person of prayer, I'd go to prayer and I'd fight all these thoughts. Start to pray and all these thoughts would come that were anything but godly. Anybody else have that problem? You just start to pray and all these things come. And I'd feel bad. Oh God, now I got to spend... Here I was interceding or doing something else. Now I got to ask for forgiveness. And God gave me the revelation. Those thoughts that are going through your head, you don't need to ask forgiveness for. You don't want to think those thoughts. The enemy is placing those thoughts in your brain. Bind them in Jesus' name. I don't want to think that thought. That thought's not from me. And all of a sudden I'm back interceding and doing what I'm called to do. But part of the plan of the enemy is to frustrate the Christian. If he could frustrate the Christian, he can retard the forward motion of the kingdom, or try to. And what's the word of God say? Resist the devil, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Test the spirits. Make sure our thinking aligns with Scripture. It's pretty simple. If the enemy has put thoughts in your head, bind them. God has not called you to be defeated. He's called you for victory. People get so put off. If I could say it in a nice way, I'm sick of hearing about people being offended. I'm offended. What's that mean? I'm offended. You said something that offended me. I don't feel good about you anymore. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You've offended me. Oh, you disagreed with me, so I'm offended. What happened to us? If you were with Steve and I, you'd swear we were getting ready to fisticuffs this last week. We just got really into this whole thing, the kingdom of God. We talked about it. But we love each other. There's no offense there. Whatever happened to having a conversation and disagreeing and loving one another? Now we disagree, we never talk to each other. All of a sudden we've taken sides. The country's split right down the middle. Come on, someone. And we find the wisdom of this world is God's foolishness. For the wisdom of this world, 1 Corinthians 3:19, is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. We deceive ourselves when we try to match up with the world. The world and I are never going to agree. The world system and I are never going to come to agreement. That doesn't mean I need to hate them. I love them and pray for them. Our wisdom is God's foolishness in this world. Competition is always there to have things, to be accepted, our social status. But none of that makes a difference to the Lord. We are rejected of men. That's the way it's supposed to be. If we're praying for us to be accepted by all men, I can just about go on record as saying that's a prayer that will never be answered on this side of the kingdom. Come on, somebody. We're always going to have someone and maybe a lot of people that disagree with us. I hope you're praying with me. They just passed the Equality Act in the House of Representatives, which means we can't talk against people that live alternate lifestyles. It's called the Equality Act. It will make it a crime to criticize somebody for the way they're living. Come on, somebody. Homosexuals, lesbians, pedophiles, can't say anything against them.
So there's no more free speech.
No more free speech. Now it's passed the House. It's getting ready to go to the Senate. Of course, Trump can veto it, but it's coming closer. It's not the first time that it's been voted on. We just haven't heard about it. And now it's got a new name, the Equality Act. But our friends north of us in Canada are living that right now. They can't. It's a felony to talk against someone that lives an alternate lifestyle. Come on, someone. So in the midst of all that, I can't guarantee that that'll never happen. Certainly we need to pray against that, because this is still, as far as I know, a government by the people and for the people.
Yes.
We still have a say in a republic. It's the I have my rights, and push that, not everybody. The mass has rights that force themselves on me. I have individual rights. Come on, someone.
Yes.
So we need to pray towards that end. And I'm not saying that that's not going to happen. It most likely, if it doesn't happen now, down the line somewhere, the world is going to draw lines that are even more pronounced about the kingdom of God. And I believe that's going to be the time when many will come to Jesus Christ. They'll see how very hateful it is, what's happening in the world, and they'll come to Christ. Because the truth is, the wisdom of this world, no matter how smart they think they are, is foolishness to God. Father, thank you for the Apostle Paul in his writings that he gave us. Thank you that through your Holy Spirit you challenge us. Lord, there's the person that you've made us to be. Deep down inside, God, the new creation that you've made us to be. And God, we spend a lot of time trying to get out of the way and just let you use us. Let you cause us to walk in victory. And that means so many times dying to what we want and willing to ask forgiveness and ask permission. Father, change that in us. God, the time demands that you raise up, that we, you've already done what you could do, that we would obey you and a family would be raised up to represent you, God. God, that the people that we're praying for would not just guess on what a Christian is, but they would see it in our lives. Hear it in our speech. Father, help us to live reflecting your glory, that we would please you in every way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.